So I just want to reference a couple of passages of scripture that I've been kind of meditating on the last couple of days that really have to do with, one, settling our minds and focus around what's happening in this season, and then secondly, being open to how God wants to do it. Be open to how he wants to do it. Whenever there is what many will call a move of God, it normally has within it some elements of uncertainty and what we might call just some Holy Spirit surprises, meaning that God comes a way that you really didn't expect or anticipate. And that can be very uncomfortable for us in our flesh, in our human capacity. But when we can adjust as Holy Spirit is adjusting us, we're going to see some incredible things. We're going to experience some incredible things. There's a freedom and a liberty that God has given us in this house that we never want to lose. As a matter of fact, we want to continue to expand that, if you will. It was an incredible blessing today to see those with the banners and flags that came in just ready to offer up that worship, from the little babies, the little children that were up here. And those are the things that have always been a part of Heirs. And so God's going to continue to bring those in who are desiring to be in the freedom of expression in Holy Spirit. Amen? So in James chapter 1, starting at verse 2, it says this: "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance," King James says patience, "let patience have its perfect result or perfect work, that you may be perfect mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Verse 5 says this: "But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting." Say, "In faith without doubting." Say that again: "In faith without doubting." It says, "For the one who doubts is like a surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." And so one of the things that I want to reference for us today, and as we continue just move forward in what God is doing in our church, what he's doing in our body, is that we settle that God really wants to move and that he really wants to bless, that he is a God of miracles. It says, let him ask in faith and not waver, not be double-minded. Sometimes we can miss what God is doing because we haven't settled things in our minds concerning God. As a matter of fact, a few years back, I taught a message called "Change Your Mind, Change Your Future." Settle your mind, settle your future. And I want to say to some of you right now, this is the time for you to really settle your mind. Settle yourself concerning the things that God has for you, things that God wants to do through you. Now, you may get challenged as to how he wants to do it. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I find myself in reading this passage of scripture out of James that it says that when you find yourself with various trials, testings that test your faith, it's there to produce endurance. I also want to tell you that it's there to produce confidence. It's there to produce a finality for you that causes you to mature in a way to walk forward and not be challenged by things like you used to be challenged. Recognizing that what you're going through is for the perfecting of you. You see, if you and I are not settling that the things that we endure and go through, God is really working in those things, it's possible you can miss what that class was about. You can miss what that exercise was about. Say perspective. See, this has to do with perspective. This is what he's talking about in James. He says, lest you find yourself double-minded. And I want to encourage us that we've got to settle our minds and not be double-minded when it comes to God's purposes for you, for me. When it comes to God's intentions concerning you and me. They're good and not evil. That's what Jeremiah said to the people of God while in bondage. It was going to be that perspective that would help them get through the next 70 years. Oh my God, 70 years. And God's saying, get okay with it. But what he's helping them to do is to settle their mind. Now, I'm just talking to those who find themselves vacillating back and forth. Is it God? Is it me? Is it God? Is it the devil? You're vacillating back and forth, and so you're not able to see it through the right perspective and the right lens that God is in it. And when you can settle that this piece, this part, God is in this too, even though I don't understand it, even though I don't like it, even though I'm being tested. If you can settle that, then you can fix your mind, you can fix your attitude, you can fix your perspective in a way so that once you get on the other side of it, which is what the writer talks about, let patience have its perfect work, so you be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, meaning that once you've come out of it, once you're done with it, you've grown from it, you've matured from it, you've learned some things about God that you never would have learned had you not gone through it, and because you went through it with the right attitude and the right perspective, you come out on the other side with the blessed results, with the best results. This is called life, y'all. It really is called life, and God is part of every believer's life. He's part of your life. He's part of my life. He's part of every decision. He's part of every good decision, every bad decision, every in the middle gray area decision. He's a part of all of it. And because we rely on his steadfastness, you and I can walk. You should be able to walk in a place of peace as you're walking through these things, and you walk through them with the assurance, I'm doing all I know to do, and what I don't know to do, God's got that already covered anyway. What I need to know, I'll need to know. Do you not understand that some of this Christian walk is really on a need-to-know basis? My Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, meaning that some of this is on a need-to-know basis, meaning some things God's never going to tell you. I just need you to trust me. And I need you to trust me when it's bad. I need you to trust me when it's good. I need you to trust me when you understand. I need you to trust me when you don't understand. I need you to trust me when it looks like it's going down. I need you to trust me when it's going up. The writer does make it clear. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He's not going to shame you for not knowing. It says he's going to let you know. But can I also help you with this? Sometimes when you lack wisdom and you're asking, and he just says, you don't need to know that. I mean, what do you do with that? You know, you're saying you need, you know, you want to know. He said, no, you don't need to know that. But I will tell you this. There is a settling that believers are coming into in this season. There's a settling that you and I have the opportunity to come into in this season. Part of that settling is settling the fact that God really has everything taken care of concerning you. Don't allow yourself to become double-minded because of circumstances. Let me say that again. You must become resolute. Sometimes that place of being resolute will look like you just ignoring some things and ignoring some people. But that place of being resolute is, I can't take my eyes off of the prize. I can't take my eyes off of the Lord. I know you want me to look over there, but I can't look over there. I've got to stay focused on Him. You've got to stay focused on Him. Do you not know that it really is a sign of maturity when you don't get distracted by stuff? It is a sign of maturity when you don't get distracted by some of the stuff that distracts others. Children get easily distracted. That's why it talks about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Because we can get easily distracted. And if the enemy knows that he can distract you, he will do just that. And while you're dealing with the distraction, you're missing what God has intended to do all along. Settle your mind, settle your future. When you settle your mind concerning certain things, you recognize other things are not worthy of your time, not worthy of your energy, not worthy of your focus. You learn to rise above certain things and live above certain things. There is also, though, in this season, the need for us to be open to change. And I mean change in the moment. Change in the moment. Say in the moment. We've been singing, don't want to miss this moment, don't want to miss this moment, don't want to miss this moment, this time with you. Great, great to sing. Great posture to take. But you also have to be willing to, ready to change in the moment, at any given moment, not to miss what God is doing, and more particularly, how He wants to do it. So I found myself also looking at this particular story in the scriptures found in 2 Kings chapter 5. And it's the story of Naaman. I want to share it here. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. Then I want to make a few points, and we're going to pray. And as I said, I want to end out our time that's live by way of Facebook, but we're not ending here just yet, okay? Y'all good? Y'all good? All right. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Naaman was general of an army under the king of Aram. He was important. Say important. Mm-hmm. He was important to his master, who held him in the highest esteem, because it was by him that God had given victory to Aram. A truly great man, but afflicted with a grievous skin disease. He had leprosy. It so happened that Aram, on one of its raiding expeditions against Israel, captured a young girl who became a maid of Naaman's wife. One day she said to her mistress, "Oh, if only my master could meet the prophet of Samaria, he would be healed of his skin disease." Naaman went straight to his master and reported what the girl from Israel had said. Well then, said the king of Aram, and I'll send you a letter of introduction to the king of Israel. So he went off, taking with him about 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothes. Now those were gifts. Naaman delivered the letter to the king of Israel. The letter read, "When you get this letter, you'll know that I've personally sent my servant Naaman to you. Heal him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he was terribly upset, ripping off his robe to pieces. He said, "Am I a god, little g, with the power to bring death or life that I get orders to heal this man from his disease? What is going on here? That king's trying to pick a fight. That's what." Elijah, the man of God, heard what had happened, that the king of Israel was so distressed that he ripped off his robe, ripped his robes to shreds. He sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset, ripping your robe like this? Send him to me so he'll learn that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman with his horses and chariots arrived in style and stopped at Elijah's door. Elijah sent out a servant to meet him with this message: "Go to the River Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed and you'll be as good as new." Naaman lost his temper. He turned on his heel, saying, "I thought he'd personally come out and meet me, call on the name of God, wave his hand over the disease spot, and get rid of the disease. The Damascus rivers, Abana and Pharpar, are cleaner by far than any of the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least get clean." He stomped off, mad as a hornet. But his servants caught up with him and said, "Father, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard and heroic, wouldn't you have done it? So why not this simple wash and be clean?" So he did. He went down and immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times, following the orders of the holy man. His skin was healed. It was like the skin of a little baby. He was as good as new. When God is moving as he is moving, we must continually remind ourselves that even while we are expectant of him moving, we can never predict how he's going to move. And as much as we read that's happening in other places and what God has already done here, we have to recognize that none of this can ever be scripted. If you happen to be watching, hear me. None of this is scripted. None of it. And as comfortable as that can be in the natural, that's really the place where you want to be. Wherever God is where we want to be. Naaman was known for being great. And so everything about him was large. His following, all that he had, read earlier in this particular verse, how that the king thought highly of him, held him in the highest esteem. He was used to having position. And so in his mind, he's thinking, yes, I want to be healed, but he also has in his mind the way he wants to be healed. And what I want to just submit to all of us, particularly as we continue to walk out this season, that one, we not ever try to predict what God is doing or how he wants to do it, but we just remain open to it and be willing to flow with Holy Spirit in the moment. Say, in the moment. Because what I see in reading this is that Naaman was good. He was fine with packing up. He was fine with going. He was fine with getting there until he found out what was going to be required of him. He believed until he found out what it was going to take. And I want to encourage us, because sometimes we can be in that place of believing until we find out what it's going to take. Now, I'm not talking about just in the context of services and miracles. Now I'm talking about you walking out your life in Christ. You can believe it until you find out what it's going to take. The challenge for many of us is you really don't know what it's going to take until you get into it. And even then, you still may only see in part of all of what it's going to take. So there has to be in all of us, again, settle your mind, settle your future, but also change your mind, change your future. You see, Naaman was faced with this decision. Do I go with, as he said, I thought he would come out of his house, he would give this grand declaration, wave his hand, because that's what Naaman was used to, and then I would be healed. And yet, with God, often, it's just something real simple. For some, it's not even the laying on of hands. I know we do that. We may even do some of that today. But sometimes, it's not that. And we have to be willing to change our minds. We have to be willing to be open. You have to be willing. We have to be willing to be open that every time we come together, whatever you want to do, God, we're watching and waiting on you. Whatever you want to do, God, we're watching and waiting on you. You see, had that been Naaman's posture, it'd have been a done deal. But thank God he had the kind of servants around him who could talk him down and say, wait a minute. If you'd have gone, if Edie said this river or this river, you'd have been fine with that. Yeah. And I like the way it said it here in the Message Bible. So why not this simple wash and be cleaned? Because sometimes we're looking for the spectacular. We're looking for the dramatic. And I want to tell you something. If we stay stuck there, we're going to miss a whole lot of what God's doing and what he wants to do. Because you see, and this is my last point for now, his healing boiled down to two things. His healing boiled down to two things. And often it is with us in seeing God move in the miraculous. His healing boiled down to two things: humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. Humbling himself and obedience. Humility and obedience. We're going to see more of God moving as we posture ourselves in humility and obedience. Oftentimes, someone can come up for prayer, but they're more concerned about who's watching than really receiving. It's going to take humility. It's going to take obedience. Because Naaman had to humble himself. You see, more often than not, God's not just going to do what you want him to do. Somewhere in that, it's going to be what he knows needs to happen. And Naaman's thinking about his healing. God's looking at his pride. He's offended because the prophet didn't come out himself. Doesn't he know who I am? Well, yeah, he does. And that's why he's not coming out. Because he's not going to be a part of your show. But he will answer your requests. God's not going to be part of our show. Let me say that one more time. God's not going to be a part of our show. He's doing his own thing. And he's inviting us to be a part of it. And it will take humility. And it will take obedience. For once Naaman listened to his servants, he humbled himself and he made his way to that river, to the river. And dunked down 7 times and came up healed. That is part of our aligning with God in this season.